Chapter 17. Said, I spoke very unkindly. I have no right to interfere with you with your, my lord broke out into an oath. And you leave the boy alone, my lady? She looked a little red, and faintly pressed the lad's hand as she dropped it. There is no use, my lord, she said. Frank was on his knee as he was making pictures, and was running constantly from Henry to me. The evil is done, if any. Not with me, damn, cried my lord. I've been smoking, and he lighted his pipe again with a coal, and it keeps off infection. And as the diseases in the village plague take it, I would have you leave it. We'll go tomorrow to Walcott, my lady. I have no fear, said my lady, I may have had it as an infant. It broke out in our house then, and when four of my sisters had it at home, 2 years before our marriage, I escaped it, and two of my dear sisters died. I won't run the risk, said my lord. I'm as bold as any man, but I'll not bear that. Take Beatrix with you and go, said my lady, or as the mischief is done, and Tucker can wait upon us, who has had the disease. You take care to choose a ugly enough, said my lord, at which her ladyship hung down her head and looked foolish. And my lord, calling away Tusher, bade him come to the oak parlor and have a pipe. The doctor made a low bow to her ladyship, of which salams he was profuse, and walked off on his creaking square toes after his patron. When the lady and the young man were alone, there was a silence of some moments, during which he stood at the fire, looking rather vacantly at the dying embers, whilst her ladyship busied herself with the tambour frame and needles. I am sorry, she said, after a pause, in a hard, dry voice, repeat I am sorry, that I showed myself, so ungrateful for the safety of my son. It was not at all my wish, that you should leave us, I am sure, unless you found pleasure elsewhere. But you must perceive, Mr. Esmond, that at your age, and with your tastes, it is impossible that you can continue to stay upon the intimate footing in which you have been in this family. You have wished to go to the university, and I think it is quite as well that you should be sent thither. I did not press this matter, thinking you a child, as you are, indeed, in years quite a child, and I should never have thought of treating you otherwise until these circumstances came to light. And I shall beg my lord to dispatch you as quick as possible, and will go on with Frank's learning as well as I can. I owe my father thanks for a little grounding, and you, I'm sure, for much that you have taught me, and I wish you a good night, Mr. Esmond. And with this, she dropped a stately curtsy, and, taking her candle, went away through the tapestry door, which led to her apartments. Esmond stood by the fireplace, blankly staring after her. Indeed, he scarce seemed to see until she was gone. And then her image was impressed upon him, and remained forever fixed upon his memory. He saw her retreating, the taper lighting up her marble face, her scarlet lip quivering, and her shining golden hair. He went to his own room, and to bed, where he tried to read, as his custom was, but he never knew what he was reading until afterwards he remembered the appearance of the letters of the book that was in Monton's essays, and the events of the day passed before him, that is, of the last hour of the day, for as for the morning, and the poor milkmaid yonder, he never so much as once thought, and he could not get to sleep until daylight, and woke with a violent headache, and quite unrefreshed. He had brought the contagion with him from the Three Castles sure enough, and was presently laid up with the smallpox, which spared the hall no more than it did the cottage. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.